I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview. This interview was conducted at Turnip Rock Farm in Amory, Wisconsin. Turnip Rock is a highly diversified CSA farm, which also includes a 100% grass-fed dairy and now the brand new Cosmic Wheel Creamery. I sat across the table from Rima Hoffpower, a Wisconsin-licensed cheesemaker. She and her husband, Josh Brierson, operate this very diverse farm.
Josh and I have Turnip Rock Farm. We have a CSA with 250 members, and we are trying to be as diverse as possible and want to move to a whole diet CSA. Mm. So we raise animals. We have eggs, chickens for eggs. We have pigs. We have sheep. We have veal, calves, pigs, mm-hmm. and milk cows, and about 10 acres of vegetables.
So, now, how long have you and Josh been farming?
2008 was our first season with our own farm, but before that, we had worked on other farms, and Josh had managed a fairly large CSA as well. So.
Wow. Because you're a very young couple, but you come to this area and to this whole idea of the holistic and full diet with a lot of experience behind you. Okay, so you've got all kinds of livestock. You've got acres in fruits and vegetables that you are part of your CSA. Now, mm-hmm. meat is also part of your CSA, and are the eggs?
The eggs and meat are... and the cheese for some of our members. So the meat, eggs, and cheese are optional add-ons to the regular share.
Wow. Now, just this year, you opened up your own creamery, mm-hmm. a fully licensed, totally certified right. yeah. Creamery. Why this move to cheese making? I mean, what was behind that?
Well, we started that, it's been a really long road. We started 5 years ago with our, we got a milk cow named Carl.
Of course, okay.
Who lived in our greenhouse during the winter, and we would go out and milk Carl, mm-hmm. and this was before our children were born, and so we just had all this time and milk and just thought, oh, it's the winter, let's make some cheese, you know. So did some home cheese making, and you know, you have to wait a few months before it's ready, and by the time it was ready, we tried it and we really loved it, mm. and kind of just started talking more about, like, oh, well, you know, maybe we should see about what's involved in this. Mm-hmm. And then a friend had a couple of cows, grass-based dairy cows, really beautiful, that he needed to sell. And so we bought his cows, and then those cows calved. Meanwhile, I started taking the courses to become a cheesemaker, a licensed cheesemaker in Wisconsin.
Now, Wisconsin is the only state in the United States that requires licensing
yeah.
to be a cheesemaker.
Yes.
So you took that on. How rigorous a course is that?
That involves, I can't remember if it was 5 or 7 courses through the University of Wisconsin system. And then They're mostly on sanitation and pasteurization, and there's also a cheese making short course. And then you also have to complete 240 hours of apprenticeship with a licensed cheesemaker. And so I was able to do that. That was really difficult to find a place where that would accept me to come and help them make cheese.
You know, so you say that it's hard to be accepted. I think about the time commitment that it requires when you're already running a 200-member CSA.
Yeah. I did those hours during the winter.
Oh, my gosh.
During the winter.
And in all of this, then you also had two children.
Mm-hmm.
And Otto is how old now?
He's going to be 5 in next month, yeah.
And Sadie is?
She'll be 2 in November.
My gosh. All right, so there was the coursework that you needed to complete, and the internship that you had to accumulate 240 hours for.
That's right.
So there's that knowledge portion of it. But in order to have a creamery, you've got to have your cow operation, and then you've got to have the infrastructure.
Right.
What was it like to develop that?
We tried to go and see other creameries, but we're pretty different in that we want to be small. So, I mean, we're only milking 10 cows right now, and I think the most that our land base could support would be probably around 20 cows would be max.
How many acres do you have?
It's 80 acres total, mm-hmm. but we have about 15 acres of pasture,
mm-hmm.
and then there's about the same on the south 40 that's has our vegetable fields, and we've take some of those out of vegetable production and cover crop them and allow the cows to graze those cover crops.
Wow.
So,
okay, so it's you and Josh. How do you manage all of this work? Do you have other people that are helping you as employees or interns?
That's right. We have 5 people full-time for the growing season. This season, we're really fortunate to have Ben as our livestock manager. So he pretty much takes care of all the livestock and decides. I mean, he's set up the rotational grazing plan on the farm this season. He's decided where to put fencing and things like that.
Well, so that's really important.
Yeah, and it's been just so helpful because Josh really has to manage the vegetable growing, which is hugely labor intensive.
Why your commitment to sustainable practice?
Well, I think that with the commitment to sustainability just is inherent in our values. It's just our value system. I think both of us have come from a place of, I grew up in South Louisiana, and I saw a lot of, there's a lot of chemical plants there. I actually grew up just a few blocks away from a Monsanto plant where they, you know, they make the they do all their work there, so it just was really real for what I saw growing up, and it wasn't something that I wanted to continue or support. And I think just learning more about our food system, we felt that we could have a real impact working through that, through the food system, and just trying to change our little bit of land and the people that eat our food and try to help out that way as much as we can.
Well, I've certainly sampled your cheeses. In fact, as we've been talking, I've had the luxury of being able to nibble while you've been speaking. Can you tell us, what did it take to build the infrastructure that you've got? Because have not just a dairy, which is the cows and milking the cows, but the place to make the cheese itself. Mm-hmm. What did that take?
It took a lot of planning. It took a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of time. I mean, it just, it, and it took a lot of working with our inspectors. We have, you know, there's different inspectors for the dairy portion. We have different inspector. So the dairy, the actual milking of the cows has its own inspections. And then the cheese making plant has its own inspections. And then we also have to be licensed as a screening lab for drug residue, even though we don't give our cows any antibiotics. It's just part of the rules.
So there's a lot of regulation that goes into the operation of it. But when you take a look at that creamery, what kind of equipment is in a creamery?
Well, in our creamery, it's really bare bones. We have a three-bottom sink. We have a pneumatic press that holds 12 wheels. It's small.
So that actually presses the milk from the...
Well, that would press the curd after the milk is cooked and everything. So that's the last step is okay. The press. And we have a vat pasteurizer. And that has the option of pasteurizing the milk in the cheese vat itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to pasteurize. And with my aged cheeses, I don't pasteurize the milk, but I do pasteurize it for anything that's going to be under 60 days is the minimum. And actually my cheeses aren't, the flavor doesn't develop usually until about 3 months. So I usually age for at least 90 days.
Okay. So why don't you walk us through the process?
Sure.
You have Jersey cows.
That's right.
Right. And why did you guys choose Jerseys?
We chose Jerseys because I really like cream and I like fatty milk.
And I'm for that.
And they're smaller, so they eat less. Mm. But the milk is actually really wonderful for cheese making as well. It has higher protein and higher fat, so that's gonna lend you a better yield than say a Holstein's milk, which has a lot more volume, but the components that you need to make the cheese aren't there as concentrated, I guess you'd say.
So you said you're milking 10 cows, so you've got the milk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the next step?
So the next step is we pump the milk through. Mm-hmm. We have a hose that and a pump that pumps it over into the cheese vat.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sample of the milk, so I run the test for antibiotics. Just to be sure nothing happened. And we also have to bring in milk for testing for bacteria, cell counts, and things like that. But that's a once-a-month test. So I take my samples, I start the tests, I then start to heat up the milk.
Mm.
So it arrives at between 35 and 40 degrees. And then I warm it up to usually around 80 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
Then I add our cultures. So those are, it's a freeze-dried cultures that thrive in a certain temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really only, you know, you have your mesophilic, which like body temperature, and your thermophilic, which like warmer temperatures.
Right.
And by warmer, the milk is never heated over 120, you know, so they're still pretty low temps. But I add that. I allow the milk to ripen. And then I add the rennet, which causes the coagulation to happen. So then you have a whole mass of, it's kind of like jello, milk jello is what it looks like. And then I cut the curd into pieces that are usually about a centimeter square is the size that you want. I have special knives that do that, that help me do that because everything's done by hand. But and then it's slowly stirred and warmed up, and then that the whey separates from the curd, so it looks like little pieces of curd are just floating around in all this liquid, which is the whey.
Which is a kind of a...
It's like a...
thin, milky kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, but it's usually kind of a green or yellow color. Mm.
And this is an aside now, but you feed the whey to your...
pigs, yeah. So so when it's time to drain, we pump the whey out into a barrel that goes to feed the pigs, and they love it, and yes, they grow really fast on it. So when the whey is all drained out, I have just the curds, which are then put into cheese molds and pressed, and that's cheese making. And then aging.
You're aging them, right. Then you age them. And for those who've just joined the show, we're speaking this morning, or actually we spoke last night, with Rayma Hofpower, who is the cheesemaker, a licensed certified cheesemaker at Cosmic Wheel Creamery right here in Amory, Wisconsin, a brand new creamery here. So this is called Farmstead Cheese because you're using the milk from your own cows, right?
That's right, yeah.
So what kind of cheeses do you make?
Well, right now I'm still developing recipes, and so I'm kind of trying a little bit of everything. So I'm making a cow's milk manchego, and that's one that we've really liked. That's that one there.
Yes.
So I think that'll definitely be in our usual rotation. And I make a cheese that's a tome, which is kind of just a generic word for cheese in France mostly, but also in Italy. It's usually followed by a place name, so tome de wherever, you know. And then that's ours could be like home to Amory.
All right.
But
talk about terroir, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm making a Alpine style, so a kind of like a Gruyere type cheese that we're calling Circle of the Sun, and that's one that I really like. So those are a few. I've kind of tried out making some Gouda. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite to make. There's a step where you drain out some of the whey and add in water. That's called washing the curd.
Mm-hmm.
And I could take it or leave it.
So how long do you age your cheeses, the aged cheeses?
It really depends on the type of cheese and what you're going for and the flavor. And a lot of the cheeses take longer. They get better with age. So the Gruyere type, for example, really doesn't taste like too great until around 5 or 6 months, it starts to get better, and then it just gets better and better as it ages. So that one has, that one's a minimum of 5 months, but preferably longer. And then the tome is usually aged between three to five months, I think is about what you want for that one. And the cow's milk manchego actually is tasting pretty good at 3 months, so it varies from cheese to cheese. And I have a little tool called a cheese trier that you stick into the wheel. It's like a curved slender knife, looks like, and you can stick it into the wheel and turn it and pull it out, and you get a little tube, and you can taste the cheese without cutting the whole wheel. So
how much do your wheels weigh?
I'm making wheels that are between, I have some that are 4 pounds, some that are 6 pounds, and some that are 10 pounds.
Mm. These cheeses are delicious.
Thank you.
I've got to tell you, this is like so good. Manchego is a real favorite of mine. And this is particularly good. You know, one of the things I've noticed about the cheeses that are on the plate that you prepared for us is that they're very yellow.
Right. And that's because our cows are 100% grass-fed. They're not... Right now, there's a lot of, you know, as you know, with selling your beef, there's a lot of people kind of saying, oh, this is pasture-raised or grass-fed. But there's a big difference between pasture-raised, grass-fed, and 100% grass-fed. So that really comes through in the colors and the flavors.
Because that would change with the seasons, I would think.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like this Manchego was made when the cows were grazing on a rye cover crop that we had. So I make notes every time I make cheese. I try to, you know, have a glass of the milk and make notes about where the cows were grazing and what the milk tasted like and anything going on that seemed noteworthy, lots of rain or dry or anything like that, because it really does change.
Now, your creamery is called Cosmic Wheel Creamery, and it's right here in Amory, Wisconsin. And you're going through just your first few months right now.
Yeah, we're just kind of really getting started.
How are you selling your cheese?
We have 70 cheese shares through the CSA. Okay. So that's 70 of our members are getting cheese each week. And then we are going to the Linden Hills Farmers Market on Sunday mornings.
And that's in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. And then also we're just starting to bring some samples around to restaurants and cheese shops, and the Wedge and Wheel in Stillwater has gotten some cheese from us, and that's really great. So,
well, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a restaurant in Minneapolis called Gist.
Uh-huh.
And it's a restaurant that specializes in all fermented foods. It is a marvelous, really great restaurant with such knowledgeable people behind the counter. So you have everything there fermented. You've got beer and wine and cider, sourdough breads, fermented pickles, cheeses and chocolate, and they had your cheese.
Yeah, I brought them in some samples.
Well, that's right. It's like, I know those people. It was so much fun.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it was fun, too, to talk to the owners of Gist, because they are so familiar with your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does make a difference. That whole notion of 100% grass-fed really demands a different kind of management.
It does.
Of the animals. You can't decide, things look a little sparse out there. I think I'll just pull out a grain bucket.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work. So that's a huge, huge commitment.
And it's really rare in dairy to have 100% grass-fed. Most of the cows have definitely been bred to thrive on grain. So I'm sure it's very similar in the beef side of things, too.
But it is. It is, because even when I go looking for a bull, I have to ask, is that a 100% grass-fed bull?
Mm-hmm.
Not something that's looking awfully good right now, because he's been fed a whole lot of grain over the last 4 months.
Yeah.
And once I pull him on my pastures, is he going to thrive?
Right. And you see in the organic standards have recently changed. So to state, and this is a recent change, that dairy cows have to be on pasture for a certain number of days per year. It's pretty minimal.
Mm.
But now all of the organic dairy products say pasture raised. And I think that's pretty confusing to the consumer, who might not understand that doesn't mean 100% grass fed.
It's
definitely better than no access to pasture, not eating any grass. But the omega-3s of 100% grass fed cheese is similar to salmon.
That's right.
It's very high, very good balance.
So, Rainbow, what are your thoughts as you kind of move forward now?
Well, I really just want to... We might add a couple more cows for next season. We need to find some more wholesale markets. That's kind of our going to be our focus. It's kind of hard to do that work whenever you're so involved in the work of making the cheese and managing the CSA and things. So I think that it might be in waiting for the cheese to age. So I think that will be some good work for us to focus on in the fall and winter months.
Now, is yours a seasonal operation, or are you going to be making cheeses all year long?
No, we're seasonal. So the cows will be dried off probably when there's snow and they can't graze anymore. There is some cheeses that I've made when the cows are just only eating hay, and you can see this cheese is whiter, and that's from the cows where it only had hay at that point. So it really does change the cheese. So
it really does. Well, Rema, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you. If people want to find out more about your creamery, where can they go?
Online we have cosmicwheelcreamery.com, or you can look at our farm website, turniprock.com.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Rima.
Thank you.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.